Hello and welcome to How Do You Feel, the show that's dedicated to your health and wellness and is sponsored by the Peoria City County Health Department. I'm your host, Lorraine King, and today I am visiting with Mr. Jason Marks, who is Director of Emergency Management at Peoria City County Health Department. Welcome, Jason.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for taking time out from your day to be here, because I know you guys are scattered all over and you're probably trying to keep records together and while you wait for the new building to be completed.
Yeah, lots going on at our place with the new construction and with us all being spread out throughout the community. So I think we're anxious to see what things look like in about a year when we get back together.
Okay, so where are you currently located?
I'm currently located, the county has an old civil defense bunker out in the Kickapoo Edwards area. So I've been working out of that for about a year, and we'll be there for a little bit longer. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Is it far out from here?
Out in Kickapoo, right, you know where Jubilee Cafe is off of I-74?
Oh, yes,
right
I
there at that exit.
Oh, how convenient.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Okay, well, thank you. So Jason's going to talk about emergency preparedness. As you know, this is the time of the year we not only have the eclipse, and we have to be prepared, but then it's a time when there's lots of storms, you know, tornadoes, and California has everything. Right. But in Central Illinois, fortunately, we don't have mudslides. We just get tornado warnings and that kind of thing.
Yeah, there's severe weather seasons upon us. We can anticipate thunderstorms are going to be atypical. We're beginning to see some of that, maybe lots of rain. That could lead to some flooding, particularly when we get some of that heavy rain in a short period of time. We may end up with some flash flooding in some of our local creeks. And then severe weather season always brings along with it the risk of tornadoes. So it's always good this time of year to think about what we're going to do in our homes to be prepared should severe weather happen.
Okay. And when you said thunderstorms, I remember on Sunday I had an appointment, but I had to sit and wait because, you know, there was like a temporary, very brief thunderstorm. So I had forgotten all about that. And, of course, with that, like you said, you know, there's always the possibility of flooding, particularly on the riverfront. And you also mentioned, you know, preparedness. So you're talking about emergency preparedness, not just if you have a business, but also if you have a home, correct?
Oh, yeah. We really encourage individuals in our community to develop individual or family preparedness kits. Talk at home with the individuals you live with, whether that some people maybe have their parents or grandparents living with them, some seniors. Maybe some individuals in your homes that might be a part of a vulnerable population, maybe have a disability, maybe are in a wheelchair, mobility issue. It's important that not only businesses have business continuity plans for mm-hmm. how they're going to continue to operate, but extremely important for families to have those individual family preparedness plans on what you're going to do when weather happens.
Now, do you have a list of all the things that a homeowner should be plan out in advance, just in case?
Yeah, we do. And on our website, if you go to the Peoria City County Health Department website, we do on there have a brochure. And what we've done is we've put together some recommended things that individuals should have in a family preparedness kit, as well as some recommended actions individuals should take at home, like identifying a reunification spot in your neighborhood. And all of those things, we put them in this brochure. And what we've tried to encourage people is that if you do this a little bit each week, over about a three-month period, you have a really nice emergency preparedness kit.
That's a long time over a three-month period getting your emergency yeah. kit together.
Yeah. Because sometimes it's difficult to get or afford all those things initially. So if you want to spread it out, and what we really encourage people to do is the other benefit of doing it over a three-month period is that it becomes kind of a cultural thing or routine thing for you. And so okay. as opposed to it becoming just, oh, once a year, I think about being prepared for emergencies and disasters. If we start to do that on a more weekly basis, well, we're less shocked when those events actually happen and occur.
Okay. Now, you were saying, Jason, that, you know, it takes time to get together all the items that you might need to be prepared for any unanticipated emergency, as well as those that you know are coming. So what kind of items do you recommend that individuals have in their emergency preparedness kit?
Well, the first thing we recommend people to do is kind of consider what threats or hazards you might have to or might occur in your community. And after you do that, we recommend you keep some bottled water available, a flashlight. A NOAA weather radio is extremely important item to have at home. Helps us be aware of when significant weather is occurring. We always encourage comfort items, because a lot of times one of the things that would be most frequent that we might anticipate would be spending some time in a basement or in a lower area of our home during a tornado. And so when we're sheltering in place like that, sometimes if you have small children, you want to have things to keep them occupied. So maybe card games, coloring books, things of that nature. So really those just general items that you may need to keep yourself for a couple of hours when you may not be able to be upstairs or when you'll be sheltering in place from potential weather.
Now, when you mentioned some coloring books and that kind of thing for children, I also thought about, what about those families who have pets?
Oh, definitely. You want to consider pets when it comes to your preparedness kits. And so some of the things you might want to consider with your pets would be, you know, do you have a leash and a collar? Do you have their paperwork handy so that if you have to evacuate your home, or if you have to, if the tornado happens and you have to leave as a result of maybe some damage in your neighborhood, mm-hmm. and you want to take your pet with you, you want to be able to do that in a safe manner, and having that leash and having papers, the vaccination records and things of that nature, so that should you have to shelter your pet at a shelter, you can prove who this is. So that's why it's important to consider pets. Sometimes pets are forgotten, so I'm glad you asked that question.
Well, you know, talking about pets again, if you are sheltering in place in your home, say in your basement, and is there anything that you all recommend to keep pets calm? Because, you know, they're probably going to freak out, too.
Yeah, that's a good point. We really, you know, the best thing in many instances is knowing your pet with respect to that. So if you know that your pet is struggles during storms, then maybe you keep a kennel. If your pet's kennel trained, so
okay.
then and oftentimes it feels more comfortable in that safe environment during storms. So
okay.
it's really because, you know, even as individuals, we act differently during storms. Pets act differently too. So really recognizing how your pet is affected by those storms would be the most important thing.
Okay. Now, not that pets are the most important thing, but you mentioned earlier, if you have parents or grandparents living with you, do you recommend rehearsal of potential emergency process in that case?
Yeah, we recommend that you run, you know, if you remember in school, we used to do that fire drill, or mm-hmm. we would do the tornado drill, where we'd shelter in place in a hallway,
right.
or we'd evacuate the building. We recommend you run those same drills at home with family members. A fire, how are you going to evacuate the house during a fire? Where are you going to meet? Is it at the end of the driveway? Is it maybe at the back of the lot?
Mm-hmm.
And same thing. Practice getting into that area you're going to go during a tornado. If you don't have a basement or a low area, is there a particular, you know, an interior room, a closet, an area that you feel is safe you're going to go to? And then particularly with those that may be going downstairs into a lower area, if you have older members of your family mm-hmm. that struggle a little bit with mm-hmm. that, talking with and figuring out ways we can accommodate to ensure that there's a safe way. A real important thing with regards to your seniors and when you shelter in place, particularly lower levels, is doing so in a timely manner.
Yes.
Because typically, you know, we're going to see a tornado watch and then a warning. And
mm-hmm.
so rather than waiting until last minute,
right.
if somebody has some mobility issues, let's get them in that safe area earlier than what maybe some others would need to be.
And then how often do you think that families should rehearse with a scenario like that?
You know, we would probably recommend that they rehearse that twice a year
okay.
at a minimum, maybe quarterly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it needs to be, you know, We encourage people that when we set our times, our clocks forward and backwards, you may recall, there's a lot of mention of, you know, changing batteries in smoke detectors and in carbon monoxide detectors. And so maybe that those two times each year would be a good time to practice some of those emergency preparedness things, like a quick shelter in place home at drill home. Or a fire drill at home might be a good time those times of year.
That is a good idea. Now, you know, you talked about people, you know, who may have mobility issues. A couple of weeks ago, I had to travel out of town, and I asked for a handicap accessible room. And so the lady at the desk, I said, you know, I'd like to be close to the elevator, but not right next to it. And the lady at the desk said, now, I know this sounds crazy. She said, but all our handicap accessible rooms are all the way at the end of the hall on every floor. And I thought, how dumb is that? And I thought about it. And I said, well, maybe it's because if they were close to the elevator, the power might not be working. And so maybe they have them at the end of the hall where the stairs are. Is that the case, you think?
You know, that's a good question. And that's what I would think, is that oftentimes during emergencies, we don't want to use the elevator. We're going to use the stairwells. And so having those handicap accessible rooms near the stairwells, particularly if first responders in that community are familiar with it, then they recognize that when they provide care to individuals in those rooms, that there's the potential that the individual there may have some additional needs with regards to mobility or some other things.
Yes, because you get to the elevator and there's something with the power, then you're really in trouble.
Yeah.
Now, you said that the period you recommend a period of 3 months, you know, preparing your emergency kit. So what kind of high ticket items would go in that kit that people need to budget for?
Well, a lot of times, you know, the NOAA weather radio can be an expense for people. And we want to really encourage that, because that NOAA weather radio is what alerts us when severe weather is going to happen. I know oftentimes our phones will do that. And sometimes, you know, we'll rely on TV or radio. But the actual NOAA weather radio and that system that's been set up nationally is the best. And so that's probably the highest or most cost, the most amount of money.
Okay.
But, you know, when you start adding a number of things together over a period of time, a flashlight, and we also recommend maybe some tools to turn off the gas at your home. And so we encourage people to recognize, how do you turn the gas off? How do you turn the water off in the event it becomes necessary? So those would probably be, you know, most of the things are reasonable. But again, the real issue over that 3 month period is not only to lighten the load maybe on our wallet a little bit, but is to what we really talk about emergency management is that it becomes a consistent part of our life. And so if we do these things routinely, then they become just second nature to us. And so then what happens when we do that is that then we're more confident when storms happen or when we have severe weather. And then, you know, we're less fearful at the same time.
Okay. And then I recall when speaking to you before, you also talked about the importance of having certain documents, you know, in a safe place. Water resistant, fire resistant?
Yeah, we would definitely encourage that you keep probably in a safe water resistant and fire resistant location. Information regarding, let's say for instance, titles to vehicles or important documentation on health insurance or insurance of vehicles and things of that nature. Identification. Also important that you keep with there a record of what medications or prescriptions you may have. That way, in the event that you have to evacuate quickly and you can't take your medications with you, that at least you've got a list, and so it's quick and easy access. The other thing that's nice about that medication list is that should something happen to you, you can provide that to first responders, and they can be aware of what type of medical conditions you may have.
Okay. Now, here's another question I told myself not to forget to ask you. You know, you always talk about having water. How long can you keep water before you replenish it, you know?
Yeah, that's a great question. I hear that a lot is, you know, can I buy water today and have it 4 years later? And the water doesn't go bad, obviously, but maybe the container it's stored in, you know, there are some concerns I've seen before sometimes where they'll say, you know, best if used by date. What we recommend is that a lot of us keep bottled water at home for cooking purposes or drinking purposes.
Right.
And so what we recommend is what we encourage is the first in, first out. is when you go to the store mm-hmm. And you purchase more water for whatever purposes, maybe drinking or cooking, that you put that in your preparedness kit and take the water that was in your preparedness kit the last several months and use that for those purposes and just kind of run through that cycle of first in, first out, and repeating. And that way something doesn't stay in a preparedness kit for too long. But at worst case scenario, we'd certainly recommend every 6 months when you check your preparedness kit to change things out.
Okay, at least every 6 months. That makes sense. When I buy water, I do use the old stuff first, yep. But I haven't put my emergency preparedness kit together yet, so I guess I need to do that. But before we go on, I just want to remind any listeners who may have just joined us, you're listening to How Do You Feel? A show that's dedicated to your health and wellness on WPNV 106.3 on your FM dial. It's sponsored by the Peoria City County Health Department. Today, I'm talking with Jason Marks, who's Director of Emergency Management of the Peoria City County Health Department, and he has some excellent advice on how to deal with potential severe weather. And we know we've had some thunderstorms, you know, in the last few weeks, and we had the eclipse that we had to prepare for. We don't have to do that for another 20 years. But he's talking about, you know, to make accommodations for elderly parents, pets, and children in case you have to evacuate or shelter in place, and having an emergency preparedness kit. So I want to ask you another question, Jason. If we don't have water stored, what sources of water in the house can be used to provide drinking water?
It's a good question. There's a number. One thing we would recommend is that you can get water from your hot water heater if your water's out.
I didn't think about that.
You should be able to get it there. The other place that, and may sound shocking to individuals, is that behind a toilet is where your water for your toilet goes. Should be clean water in there, and so you can use that water from the back of the toilet if you need be. But we always recommend the best thing is maintaining bottled water or a supply of water in your preparedness kit. And we recommend that people keep about 3 days worth of water, so about a gallon of water per person per day. And so up to 3 days, which isn't really, you know, isn't an extravagant or an excessive amount of water to keep around.
Okay. So we know about that. Now, we've been talking about preparedness in the home. Now, what is it that the Peoria City County does when we have this inclement weather and the tornado warnings and watches and stuff?
Oh, great question. So we've really, over the last several years, we've been fortunate that the National Weather Service provides us good indicators of when severe weather may happen. And so usually when we get that information from the Weather Service as an agency, what we do is we share that with a number of our community partners, first responding agencies, mm-hmm. schools, other individuals, so that they can begin looking at, okay, we may have severe weather this evening. Do we need to cancel events? Do we need to plan on planning things indoors that were originally scheduled to be outdoors? Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is that we do have a cadre of what we call weather spotters in Peoria County. And so when weather poses a risk of potential tornado, we'll activate our spotters and we'll send spotters out throughout the community. And what they do is they observe the conditions in the environment, and then they report that information back to us at a central location. And we can keep that information. We keep the National Weather Service in Lincoln notified. As well, should a tornado be spotted, we could then activate our outdoor warning siren system and notify the public of the risk at hand.
Okay. Now, you know, when I hear those announcements, I hear them say something about the Weather Service in Lincoln, but you're saying you get your information from the National Weather Service.
Correct, and which has their office in Lincoln, Illinois.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So when they say Lincoln, that office in Lincoln is a part of the National Weather Service. And so that's who we work directly with. The Lincoln office provides the forecast for our region of the state of Illinois. We got a great working relationship with the individuals at the National Weather Service. In fact, they were just here early part of March. We had representatives here. They provided weather spotter training to about 40 individuals. And they attend a number of our county-based and regional coalitions and keep us updated on not only daily weather, but what they're kind of anticipating seasonally. So,
mm-hmm. Now, here's a question for you. You know, we have a number of homeless people in Peoria. And so what do you advise the homeless to do when these kind of things occur?
Well, the most important thing to do is be aware. And so be recognizing in whatever way you can get messaging. We do work with, as an agency, and in particular our emergency management program, we've been working with the last several years, the Heart of Illinois United Way, the Continuum of Care, is a group of individuals that works directly with people experiencing homelessness in our community. And so we've been providing information to them and working with them actually right now on some wound care and some other things with people experiencing homelessness. And so when those outreach workers are in those communities working with those individuals, we use as an opportunity to do a lot of education and encouraging those individuals that when we see severe weather, that they seek shelter wherever they can. And there's a lot, oftentimes there's a lot of public buildings and locations where we can seek shelter during inclement weather.
So I know, excuse me, I know like, you know, there's when it's very, very cold or very, very hot, you know, they make available certain fire stations and the police Correct. Station lobby. So is that the same places they should go in case of inclement weather?
Not so much for inclement weather. We wouldn't recommend that. You're correct that when we have severe cold or severe heat, it's not uncommon for the police department and the fire departments throughout the community to be available for individuals to go mm-hmm. in there to either stay warm or stay cool. But during severe weather, we don't necessarily utilize those sheltering, that type of system. We would just encourage people to go any place where you know, a public location, maybe the library. There's a number of public buildings that will be open and available. And really the big thing with severe weather is recognizing when it's going to occur and then being prepared to find that location.
Okay. Now here's the one, you know, sometimes it's so, you know, there's a watch and then there's a warning. Can you explain the difference between the two?
I can. Yeah, that's a great question. A watch means simply that all the ingredients in the environment are there for a particular condition to occur. So, for example, to have inclement severe weather, we need to have wind shear. We have to have instability in the environment. We have to have a energy source. So oftentimes when we have all of those things, a watch will be issued, which means that, hey, should a particular thing happen in the environment, a storm could occur. A warning means that those conditions have all come together appropriately, and whatever we're warning you of has already is occurring or is beginning to occur. So for example, when you get a thunderstorm warning, that means a thunderstorm is occurring. When we get a tornado warning, that means a tornado is occurring somewhere. It's either been visually observed by mm-hmm. a weather spotter or an individual, a first responder, and somebody's seen that tornado and notified us. So warning is all the ingredients are there and it's happening, mm-hmm. and a watch is just all the ingredients. Sometimes, you know, we'll use the example of when I do a presentation, I'll do a slideshow and I'll do a presentation and I'll use an example of making tacos. And okay. so when a watch would be where we have our cheese and our taco meat and our lettuce and our onions and tomatoes and the shell, and they're all sitting there ready, but they're just individual on plates. And a warning would be when we put all those in the shell and we begin to eat them, now we're happening. And so that's a great question. A watch means, hey, be aware. Mm-hmm. A warning means take cover.
You probably should, yeah, take shelter.
Yep. When we've reached warning status, something's happening and you should already be in your shelter by that point in time. It's, if you're not, you certainly want to seek shelter once a warning's been issued.
Okay. Now, do the National Weather Service, does their equipment ever get damaged in any of these kinds of storms?
You know, I've never heard, we haven't, or they haven't discussed their radar equipment being damaged during the storm. They just did a recent upgrade on their radar, and when that was down, there's a National Weather Service station in St. Louis, there's one in the Quad Cities, and so those stations will then pick up. And so, much like what we have locally, in we have a lot of duplication in our systems, so that when one system goes down as a result of something, the radio system we use for first responders has a lot of replication in it. And that's built into it to ensure that if this tower happens to go down or is affected by a storm, if this piece of equipment's affected, there's backup that'll pick that up. And so that's what the Weather Service has through with their Weather Service locations throughout the state.
Okay, now what about cell phone towers?
Oh, that's a good one. A lot of people will rely on their cell phones, and cell phones are excellent, you know, they're at giving us information with mm-hmm. when severe weather. A lot of times our phone will go off unexpectedly when severe weather is happening. But we really want to encourage people that don't just rely on your cell phone. That's where that NOAA weather radio comes in.
Okay.
Your cell phone might be your primary means of being notified. But we want that secondary means and tertiary means. And that's because we always want to build in backup to our systems. That way, if something happens, and oftentimes cell phones, what might happen is that the cell tower might be affected, and so we may not get the message, or our NOAA weather radio, because of the system they have in place and the redundancy that's built into that, we are receiving those messages.
Okay. Now, where on your website should individuals go, you know, who are tech savvy, the Peoria City County Health Department, the PCC?
PCC, yep, go to www.pcchd.org. And if you look underneath some of our community resources, we'll have things in there, and including that brochure that talks about how people can get prepared. Mm-hmm. The other thing individuals can do is they can contact me directly at the EMA. They can contact me at my email address, which is jmarks@peoriacounty.org. Or they can give me a phone call at my office at 309-679-6020. We can mail that information out to them. I can email it to them.
Now, how convenient is that? Isn't if you send your system, they can mail it to you.
Absolutely. Isn't that something today, 2024?
I like that. Do I want to send your
system? We're still using the post office. You bet. We'll mail it to you if you need to get it that way.
Okay. So that's jmarks@peoriacounty.org.
That's correct.
And or call him 309-679-6020.
That'll ring at my desk.
And if he doesn't answer, he'll get the voicemail and get back to you.
Yep, I'll get back to you.
If you're a senior citizen like me, he'll mail it to your house.
Yeah, I'll definitely. If you want it mailed to you, we'll put it in the post office and we'll mail it.
Okay, now, Jason, in the horrible event that, say, there's a fire in a particular area or something that's really devastating, and they ask, you know, because I always hear about them telling, advising people in California and other places to evacuate. Where will we evacuate to?
Well, we've talked a lot about that locally, evacuation. And what we see primarily when it comes to evacuation in the Midwestern states, it's oftentimes we don't evacuate thousands and hundreds of thousands of people because, you know, when you see evacuation like you're referring to, you're thinking about probably an earthquake, or a lot of times people refer to evacuation from the Gulf Coast as a result of a hurricane, where mm-hmm. tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people.
And those fires in California.
Yeah, and those fires. What we're looking at here in central Illinois is primarily oftentimes if we evacuate a community, it may just be a neighborhood. And what most people do is they find shelter with friends.
Mm-hmm.
They find shelter with family members. Oftentimes they can shelter in hotels. And we do have arrangements with the American Red Cross is a great partner, and they've got a number of shelters. They've got agreements throughout the community, 100-plus locations that have agreed to serve as a shelter. And, again, that's that redundancy because we don't know which part of the community might be affected. So we've built in redundancy so that if a location that was our primary shelter was affected, we have secondary and tertiary locations to use.
So do you have a list of all those locations on your website?
I don't have a, no. The Red Cross maintains
a list. Oh, the Red Cross.
Yeah. And the reason we don't post that information up front is simply because of that, because not all of those shelters will be open during an incident.
Okay.
We'll put a lot of information out to the public when shelters are open and things, and that one of the things that our relationship with agencies in the media, with our media outlets, radio, press, print, TV, is that they actively participate in a lot of our events. And so we've got a good relationship with them. And so when we need to get information out to the public, you know, we would strongly encourage, turn to WPNV. They're going to be able, they're going to be with us during a joint information conference or a press conference. We're pushing information. So turn to the local media outlets. Our goal with our public information is to have relationships with local media, give the information to local media, and then local media shares that with the people. Because, you know, the general public, they have their trusted local media. You have a trusted group of individuals that listen to your station. We want them to get that information directly from you. Right. And that's why it's important for us. And that's why we like the relationship with we have with you all.
Okay. You know, there's a number of assisted living and senior facilities in our area. Do you have a group or a team that goes out and to do emergency evacuation with them?
We work with them, both our assisted living facilities, long-term care facilities. We maintain a distribution list. We routinely provide them information on all sorts of things. We encourage them to participate and to conduct internal evacuation drills. There are certain standards they're required to meet by Medicare and Medicaid and some CMS standards. And so as those agencies, we certainly work with them as they reach out to us, we collaborate with them. And I've even conducted some drills in some of those agencies.
Right, because I was wondering if they planned for that ahead of time. You know how for food prep, you know, they go out and do these things. And I was wondering if they do the same thing for emergency preparedness.
Yeah, many of the agencies do. They participate in routine drills like we've talked about kind of like maybe we recall when we were in school and we did that fire and tornado drill. Yeah, some of our assisted living facilities and long-term care, they conduct those routine drills to be prepared for when something might happen.
Okay. So is there anything that's important that I might not ask you that you want to share with our listeners?
I think the big thing that I always try to encourage with individuals is just recognizing that there are certain threats and hazards in our community. And if you're aware of what they are and what things you need to do to be prepared for when they happen, it makes life easier. It makes it's statistics will prove that when you've prepared, a little bit of preparedness goes a long way in ensuring one's safety following emergency and disaster. So we just encourage people to take a few minutes out, you know, periodically consider what they can do at home to be safe. And if people have questions, reach out to us. We're here to help.
Now, you know, usually every time there's a fire in a home or something, you know, people always turn to the American Red Cross. Is that the only agency that individuals can turn to in case of disaster?
No, there's a lot of different non-governmental agencies out there that'll assist. The Red Cross is a common, you know, it's customary for them to assist during a fire for a home or family. They usually provide some immediate assistance to that family following a fire. But following a large-scale disaster, we've got relationships with a number of our non-governmental agencies and nonprofits, everything from Red Cross to Salvation Army to United Way to, you know, we work with Children's Home Association, a lot of those different agencies, just in collaborations so that, because when large-scale disasters happen in our community, it takes the whole community to respond. It's not one agency or two, but it takes everybody to do their part for us to be resilient.
Working together. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Even though we've talked before, you know, every time I learn something helpful and useful. And so I appreciate you sharing that with our listening audience. I just want to thank Jason Marks, Director of Emergency Management for Peoria City County Health Department, for telling us about steps we can take to be prepared in case of an emergency. And I want you, the listeners, to know the show is How Do You Feel? And it's dedicated to your health and wellness, and it's sponsored by the Peoria City County Health Department. It broadcasts at 11 a.m. on Saturday, repeats at 7:30 p.m. on Sunday. And if you miss either broadcast, you can hear it later on the WPNV website, which is wpnv.org, and look for How Do You Feel, which is this show, and you'll be up to date. So once again, I thank Jason for his information and insight and sharing and knowledge. And to our listeners, we hope you join us again next week.
Now is always the right time.